Father, thank you for new beginnings, for restoration, for healing, renewal, for hope and a future. God, thank you that we don't have to fear or worry about anything. We have you, God, and you are God of all. You have it all together, God. There's no worry in you, no fear in you, your perfect love. God, we pray your perfect love be shed abroad in every heart, that we'll find our refuge, our rest, our peace in you, God. Find our purpose in you. Thank you for everything you do, everything you've done, and what you're doing even today, God, in hearts and lives. Thank you for being faithful with us and being patient with us once again, Lord. That you don't throw us away because we make mistakes, but God, you invite us back. You welcome us. If we would run to you, come to you. You are gracious. You're merciful. You're willing to forgive, Lord. And no longer hold those things against us. Thank you for a new day, a new beginning. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is living in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with and lean not in all your ways, and he will, right? Direct your path. Well, do you know, I've been kind of joking with people lately, and I say, when we say goodbye, I'll say something like this: be careless. You know, because people are saying, now be careful, but I'll tell them, no, be careless. Now, you don't understand what I'm saying, right? Don't misunderstand. Because we want to use common sense, right, and judgment in our lives, right? But what God is wanting us to do is to live a carefree life. How to live a carefree life. Guys, there's a lot of stuff going on in our world, obviously. And the media is constantly filling us full of stuff, you know, and scares. And sometimes, you know, there's legitimate things we need to be concerned about. But, you know, God doesn't want us worrying, right, or fretting about the things that are going on. He wants us to run to him for refuge and find our peace in him. How many know that God wants you to live your life to the full? He wants you to live a full life, an abundant life. God's not stingy. Amen. God's not holding out on you. He's not wanting you to be miserable. And you know, sometimes, guys, you know, life dishes out some things that are unpleasant, you know. But how many know that God has a way of turning everything around for good and working all of those things together for good? Just like the ingredients of a cake, if by themselves, are not always tasteful. Amen. If you're eating a raw egg, it may not. Well, some people might like that, but I wouldn't enjoy that. You know, I've tried that for a protein boost before. You know, it's like, man, I think I'll stick with powder or do something different. But, you know, but there's also the, you know, if you take baking soda by itself, it's pretty nasty. Have you ever tried? When you're a kid and your mom's making something, you're like, hey, what's that? Like, oh, that's bad. But if you put it all together, you know, and baking soda, by the way, has a lot of purposes, doesn't it? Yeah. Multi-purpose. So it's good stuff, but it's not necessarily tasty by itself, right? So I want to just begin from a very familiar passage of Scripture, and then we're going to move from there into really discovering a way that God wants us to be at rest, okay? He really wants us to get over the stressing and the striving and the performance and the trying to make things happen and worrying and fretting about the future and all these things the enemy's trying to heap on us. You know, we need to learn how to just let those things go. Amen. Really let it go. Give it to God. But in Philippians 4:6, it says, be anxious for, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, now, Paul tells us here to be carefree. Be anxious, right? Be careful for nothing, and I think in the King James. Now, is it really possible for us as believers to live a carefree life? To be anxious for nothing? Is it possible? Okay. How many here live a carefree life? All right. Thank you for your honesty today. How many here are learning how? Okay. So as long as we have the Lord as our eternal resource, amen, we have everything that we have need of, through believing prayer, the prayer of faith. Prayer is more than just asking God for things. Prayer is also, it's an act where we will petition God for certain things. And here the word for prayer is general petitioning God, you know. But everything in general petitioning, you know. It says it's more of than just an act. It's an atmosphere that we create around us. We should walk in an attitude of prayerfulness, meaning we stay connected, right, throughout the day with the Lord. And it doesn't have to be, I have to go and I have to find a place to kneel or bow down 5 times a day, whatever some people are doing. Amen. We need to understand that our God, amen, is with us and he's for us. And he's only a word away. We just call out to the Lord Jesus, amen, wherever we are. So everything needs to be taken. Everything needs to be taken to the Lord in prayer. And everything. Because there's nothing too small or too big for God. God cares about even the sparrow, amen? He's involved in the small things, the details of our lives. And sometimes, like I said earlier, the details are very important because the small things can sometimes lead to bigger problems. You know, if we're not making good decisions on a daily basis based in truth, according to the will of God for our lives, people are mad at God so often because of something that they brought into their own lives. Because when God was trying to plead with them to listen to his counsel, they wouldn't have it. And then God gets blamed. It's like the enemy comes and he deceives them into thinking that they have a better idea than God. You know, and then when the enemy does his work, he wants to get that person offended at God. How many know the enemy wants you to get offended at God? He wants you to get mad at God, right, about your situation. And because if we don't understand the heart of our Father, then we could get mad at God because we misunderstand his heart. Sometimes we judge things by appearances, judge things by the way things appear, rather than in fact or reality or in truth. So we really need to learn the heart of our Father, that his heart is good continually. God doesn't just change. You know, some days he's not good, some days he's good. He is good. That's who he is. And so to know God is to know that he's good, and to know him is to also have confidence in his goodness. No matter how things appear, maybe you're having a dose of that baking soda recently. You know, and by itself, it's pretty nasty. But if you work it together with everything else in your life, God knows what he's doing. He knows the right prescription for your life. He knows what works for you. Guess what? Better than we do. And so we need to come to a place where we're really confident in God and he's going to take care of us. And we know that I don't have to understand it all. I don't have to have all the answers. All I need to do is put my faith in God. That's what Jesus said. Just have faith in God. Amen. So it's possible for us to have a carefree life, having a right attitude. Now, supplication is talking about specific requests, which we will bring to the Lord. So we need to make these requests known to God with thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving is really a password into his presence, into his throne room. How many know that God is good? And because God is good, when we're unthankful, we're living in unbelief. And when we accuse God of doing wrong, we're in unbelief. So if we come before the Father, we need to come to him with the right attitude. An attitude of what? Gratitude. Because God is always good, and he cares about us. And he knows what's best for us. And just because he doesn't do things the way we think he should doesn't mean he's not good. It just means that he's smarter than we are. All right? And he knows what works and what doesn't work. So trusting God regardless of what happens in our lives. This is where God wants to bring us, because that's where you really find rest. Where you find yourself at peace in your life, saying, you know what? I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to fear the future. You know, I don't have to worry about a thing because God's got it. Amen. And if things happen in my life that I don't understand, I just need to make a confession and say, you know what? God, you've got it. Amen. You own it all. You take care of it all. You keep it all going. Everything exists because of the word of your power. Amen. God's not weak. He's able, amen, to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. That's the God that we serve. And so God is wanting us to come to a place where we're so at rest in him, so at peace with him, that we are actually living a carefree life. Amen. So we'll be tested in this. Amen. With the evil report comes, when the spies return, amen, with the evil report. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit, didn't they? They had a faith that God is going to take care of. He gave us that land. We need to believe what he says and not what things appear to be. We got to look beyond the temporary to the eternal God who is forever praised and blessed. Amen. He's able to keep it. Keep it together for us. Hallelujah. Trust him. So anyways, These attitudes really should characterize our lives. The peace of God. The peace of God. Which passes what? Again, our minds get in the way. Because we try to live by reason, our own reason. And God does give us reason, but our reason has to be submitted to truth. Okay, so if my mind is trying to figure something out, but it's not in alignment with God's truth, amen, it's a rogue thought. And I'll get into trouble if I start to get into panic mode. How many here have made mistakes when you've gotten into panic before? You got quick, amen, you jumped, if you will, right? You got ahead of God, sure. Because the enemy wants to get you into anxiety. God wants to get you into peace. All right, so what he's going to do is he's going to set something up in your imagination, and he's going to present a lie and try to make it bigger than it really is. He's going to try to make the lie look bigger than the Lord. Amen. And the situation to where, you know, if we're not careful, we'll start to believe that it's just impossible, that there's no way out of this. There's no way that I can overcome this situation that I'm in. How many know even temptation itself? There's nothing that you're tempted with that you don't have the ability to overcome. Amen. God will give you the grace to overcome if you call on him. All right. So we can't say, well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You did it. He tempted you, but you did it. And you need to learn that God's way is always best. Amen. Father knows best. So guess, guys, when you hear a bad report, do this. Ask the Lord right away, Lord, what is your perspective on this? What are your thoughts concerning this situation? Because we've got to be careful not to judge by appearances, the way that things appear. So we need to pray until our hearts are flooded with the peace of God. See, a lot of times people are thinking, I'm just going to do an instant drive-through situation with God, you know, and somehow I'm going to get sustained by that. Sometimes you need to sit down to the banquet table, amen, and kind of eat some meat and some potatoes and have a really good time with Jesus, amen, and get strength and nourish yourself up in the Lord. Build yourself up in the Lord. Start your day with Jesus, amen, and quit snacking all the time, amen. Just a little here and a little there, a little bit of a word there, a little bit of a church service there, or whatever it is. God wants us to come to him and dine at his table. He serves the best. And what he serves us will sustain us in our journey. We live in an instant society, don't we? We want it now. We want it quick. We want to drive through and have it done just like that. But sometimes, guys, you just need to take time. Amen? Yea, though I walk through the valley, Psalms 23:4, of death, what? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, we need to refuse to worry or be anxious. We need to refuse to be fearful. We do. We need to refuse it. Now, because if we know that God is with us, if we really trust in Him, then we can have peace even when we're in the valley. We can have peace even in the bad situation. Because we're not looking at that, we're looking at Him. We're not trusting in what we see, we're trusting in Him who we don't see, amen? But know that He's faithful to His Word. He will perform His Word. And God wants us to pray and be at rest, be at peace with Him. Refuse to be anxious. Because we're not to fear evil. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Yeah, God's greater than our problem, would you say amen? So don't fear your enemy. Don't fear the devil either. The devil's a liar. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are fearful of the demonic. They're fearful of, oh, what the Satanist could do or the witch could do. Or, you know, God says, grow up. Amen? I'm with you. He's the Most High God. He's El Elyon, Most High God. Amen? He is the creator of all that there is. Amen? So it's not like Jesus and Satan, once again, are in the boxing ring, amen, in the same weight class. You got the creator versus the creation. All right? And so if our God is the Most High God, guess what? He's got, amen, all the power, all the authority, everything that we have need of, amen, for protection in this life comes from Him. Amen. Don't be in any way intimidated by your enemies. Don't make a big deal out of these people. Amen. And don't make a big deal out of witchcraft and Satanism. Don't give it too much thought. Amen. Just know, yeah, it's a reality. Amen. But we know who our God is. We know that our God is bigger than the boogeyman. Amen. Our God is able to save us and protect us and help us through any situation. Do you know that the devil can't touch you without permission? Are you God's child? Amen. So don't give Him permission. Don't give Him permission by doing something foolish. Amen. Doing something that you know God says no to and giving Him legal access. But guys, I want to tell you, even in that, there's been many times, I believe, even my own life, where God, in His mercy and His grace, has protected me from myself. Even when I made wrong decisions, God protected me too. Amen. But we don't want to tempt the Lord. We don't want to continue in that vein. Amen. Because God eventually is going to say, if that's what you want, I'm going to take my hand off and I'm going to let you have a taste of what you think you want. And you're going to discover what you thought you wanted was not so good after all. And life is better with me. So you need to get out of the hog pen of life. Amen. And come back to your Father's house. And you can sit down at my table. I only serve the best. Amen. And there's comfort. There's counsel. There's protection. There's love. Amen. Love is flowing freely in our Father's house. Amen. Under His roof. Under His authority. There's protection. You know what the enemy wants to do? He wants to magnify evil. That's what the media is doing. We've got to be careful about what we're entertaining, amen, with the media. It's full of fear. All right? Because he wants to make it look bigger than it is. Why? Because he wants to produce hopelessness in the eyes of people. It's so bad. And what happens when people are hopeless? Often they will cast off all restraints. They become lawless. They figure, it's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we're going to die. Amen? We might as well just live it up and do our thing. Are you hearing me? And hopelessness just develops into worse problems because then there's the alcohol and the drugs and everything else. Amen? Illicit sex and all the things that the world is offering people as a solution, which is only the problem. Amen? God knows best. So He doesn't want us to fear our enemy. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. Here we go. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Put your faith in the power of God, not in the power of your enemy. When you see horses, right, and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. How many know that often evil presents itself in a big picture? An impossible situation. The enemy's good at magnifying the lie. And we have to be very careful that we don't entertain that. We need to understand that Joshua and Caleb had the right perspective on it, didn't they? They knew who their God was. And they said, if God is pleased with us, we shall enter. Amen. We shall receive of the land. Now, how was God going to be pleased? God was going to be pleased because they had faith. Amen. God was going to be pleased because they trusted that the Lord was going to see him through. Because it was the Lord who was going to give them the land. Their responsibility was to cooperate with him, obey him, and walk out the path that he laid before them. Step by step, all right? And as they took step by step, God was going to remove their enemies before them. They had to have confidence that God had already given them assurance of this promise, so that they could with confidence step out and know that I don't have to fear the devil. As a matter of fact, the devil is afraid of those who know who they are in Christ. We need to turn this thing around. There's Christians that can't go to sleep at night. They're afraid of the boogeyman. You know what? You should be able to turn your lights off, have it pitch black in there, and have peace in your heart. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. And sleep soundly. No, God's got it. And greater is the one that's in me than he that's in the world. Do you understand? The devil uses deception now. He uses lies to try to get you, to convince you that somehow he's bigger and badder than God. God is amazing, isn't he? He's awesome. He's the Most High God. So God says, set your affections on things above. Keep your mind on me. Trust in me with all your heart. Don't lean on your what? Own understanding. He will guide you if you're willing to go with him. And he said, when you see that these armies are actually by appearance are bigger and more numerous than you, don't fear them. For it's the Lord, he said, what? Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. Do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies. Now, another thing that the enemy wants to get us into, you know, is fear of the future. Anybody beside myself been wondering about what's going to happen? Come on. Do you know why the enemy wants to throw fear on us? Guys, because he's trying to shut you down. He's trying to silence the church. He doesn't want us speaking up. He doesn't want, it's okay as long as we're in the closet. Just stay in the closet and we'll be okay. But the enemy wants to get us in fear because he wants to shut us down. He wants to put a gag on you and stick you in the corner. Be a nice little politically correct individual. We're not supposed to be afraid of anything, including the future. Matthew 6:30, what did Jesus say? This is New Living Translation, but he says, if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate who? The thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. How many of you know God is not surprised by anything going on? Oh, I didn't know that. Of course he knows it all. Amen. But he said, instead, what? Seek the kingdom of God. Don't seek these things. Seek him. Seek the Lord. Above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Do you understand? There's some people that are so afraid of the future that they can't enjoy life in the present. God says, I don't want you there. I don't want you accepting that. I want you to deal with the fears and the phobias and the anxieties of your life. I've come to give you life, amen, and life to the full. And he comes to give us a peace that is supernatural, that passes all understanding, amen. We don't want to allow our carnal mind to dictate the condition of our heart. Believe that God is on your side. Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear, the psalmist said. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So this is the thing. I really want you to focus in on this. Some people are really have grasped a hold of this and they understand the value and the importance of this. Hear me now. We need to be very careful to maintain a positive confession. A confession with your mouth. You need to speak the truth. Amen. The sword of your spirit. Amen. The sword of his spirit is the word of God. God gives you the sword, but we need to learn how to speak the truth into our situation. Amen. That's how you defeat the enemy. You defeat a lie with what? With truth. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you can encourage yourself in the word of God by speaking the word of God and listening to that same word that you're speaking. And it releases a power, the power of God, amen, in that situation to shift the atmosphere. You're not supposed to be controlled by the atmosphere around you. You're supposed to affect change in your atmosphere by being a vessel that God will work through to release his word into that situation. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So here's David saying, when he was feeling downcast, he was feeling like a sheep that was over on its back getting ready to die, couldn't get himself back up. He says, why, Psalms 42:5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted or troubled within me? What's the solution? Hope in God, for I shall praise him for the help of his countenance. What is he saying? He says, instead of me looking at the situation, freaking out about it, getting upset over it, worrying about it, I'm going to start giving God praise for the help of his countenance. He's professing, amen, and confessing that God is with him, God is for him, God's going to take care of it, that he doesn't have to worry about these things. Lord, I thank you that you are my provider. And I thank you that as my Father, you will take care of all my needs, according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Do you know God wants us to take the word, his word to him? Because we're saying, Lord, I'm putting my faith in what you said. And that pleases God. So when you're feeling fearful, you can say, God, I thank you that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. To speak out that word, it trumps. Do you understand? When a curse comes, you what? You bless instead. You do the opposite of how you're feeling, and you use truth, amen, as your weapon to counter the lies of the enemy. When I'm feeling anxious, I can say, God, I thank you that you have given me peace through your Holy Spirit. Your promise is that you will keep those in perfect peace whose minds are what? Stayed upon you. So you got to get the word in the hard drive. You got to be in the word of God. Amen. You need to be drinking it in. Amen. Listening to the word of God. Amen. And reading it yourself. Get it in the hard drive and start practicing speaking the truth in your situation. Do the opposite of what your situation is dictating to you. You are the ones that are supposed to be the world changers. Amen. The world is not supposed to be changing us. We're supposed to be making a difference here. You know, we should be the most optimistic people on the planet. Now, listen, guys, I know there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, sure. But we got to be careful that we're not like the 12 spies. What was the 10? Yeah, 12 spies that came back with the evil report. And we start to pick up all the stuff and all the negativity, right? And all of a sudden, it's what it's doing is messing with us, isn't it? And it gets us into this this place where now we're anxious and we're worried and we're fearful about things in life and the future and what am I going to wear, what am I going to eat and all this. And Jesus is addressing that right here. He said, listen, don't you worry about those things. Your Father knows the sparrow, amen? Even the hairs on your head are numbered. So He's going to take care of you if you trust Him. When you start to feel anxious, disquieted, put your hope in God. I will yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Has anybody here ever been plagued with the demons that are telling you you're going to die? You're going to die. You're going to die. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that my life is in your hands. God decides, amen, when I take my last breath. Not the devil. He's not. I don't need to be listening to that voice, amen, that's trying to rob you and get you into a place where I might as well just sit down and die because I'm going to die. God says, rise up, amen, and shine. Let your light shine. Make the most of every opportunity. Redeem the time, amen. Get busy. Be about your Father's business, amen. It wasn't time to get on board the ark until the ark was completed. Amen. God has called us to the assignment. Each one of us has been given an assignment to build up His body. Amen. In the world. To reach out and win the lost and make disciples for Jesus. And when this gospel of the kingdom is preached into all the world, then the end shall come. But for right now, if God has given you life and breath and the strength to get out of bed, praise God, you can come here. Amen. You can connect with your brothers and sisters. You can be out and about. And God says, I don't want you to live a gloomy, pessimistic life. I want you to live a happy, prosperous, blessed life, extremely happy life. Why? Because God's got it. God's in control. God says, don't worry about anything. If you're worrying, you're not in obedience. If you're worrying, you're in unbelief. So whenever I get worried, I have to realize that, hey, wait a minute. This is not faith. This is fear. How many know that worry and anxiety is fear? It's a form of fear. So when I get into that, I have to fight back and say, no. I refuse, amen, to bow down to that. I refuse to be fearful. Every one of us here knows what that's like, don't we? Come on. So God says, I want you to be carefree. To be careless. So when next time you say goodbye to somebody, say, be careless. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about your provision, don't worry about the future. Don't worry and fear your devil, amen, that devil. Don't fear the evil that's going on around us. You know, guys, you can go anywhere God says you can go. Anywhere the Holy Spirit leads you is the best place to be. Say amen. So we don't take our directions from the news, we take our directions from the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, what do you say? Amen. What is your idea? What's your perspective on this whole situation? And because otherwise the enemy will just shut us down and steal from us. All right. Here's another one. Psalmist said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn or the strength of my salvation, my stronghold. And then Psalms 18:3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved. Something happens, the first thing we should do is say, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Lord, give me grace. Lord, give me strength. Hallelujah. Amen. Lean on Him. Wait on Him. Don't get into panic mode, because once you're anxious, you start making mistakes. You know, we've all done it. But God's trying to teach us how to find rest in Him, how to really learn how to walk and live a carefree life. How many know that the people around us that don't know the Lord are needing to see an example of that in us? They need to see that we're stable. They're needing to see, amen, that we're at rest. That we're not worried about these things. They're all saying, oh, what about the coronavirus? And so what about it? Amen. God's on the throne. Hallelujah. And I'm His child. God's going to have me here as long as He wants me to be here. You know, I feel... I said, this is just such a timely word, isn't it? That we need to understand that God doesn't want us to be worried. He wants us to be cheerful. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to rejoice how often?
Always.
Always. And He wants us to give thanks how often?
Always.
Amen. And how often should we be praying?
Always.
We should be in an attitude of what?
Gratitude.
Of prayer. Yeah, and gratitude, yes. But an attitude of prayer. All right. So, instead of saying, I'm a loser, you can say what? I can do all things through Christ. How about this one? When the devil tells you God doesn't love you, tell him, Romans 8, 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither life, death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall what? Be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you understand? That's how it's really a fight for faith. Whether you're in faith or in your unbelief. Faith produces fruit, good fruit, amen? Joy and love and peace and all these good things that we are really wanting in our lives, needing. So when the devil says, you won't make it, tell him, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. When the devil calls you a loser, tell him, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8:37, when the devil tries to bring you into condemnation, tell him, Romans 8:1, there is therefore what? Now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When the devil tells you you haven't done enough, tell him, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, but not as a means to being right with God. But when our hearts are right with God, then we'll have good works. Amen. But the enemy wants to get you into performance mode. He's a hard taskmaster. He gives you this ungodly burden. Amen. It's a false burden. He dumps a lot of stuff on you and says, you're just not doing more and enough. You know? And God says, come unto me. You guys are stressed out about so much stuff, right? And I will give you rest. That's why they wanted to be with Jesus. They just want, how many know that's all you're going to do? You're going to be hanging out with Jesus. Just hanging out with Jesus and it's going to be okay. You're not worried, did I do enough? Did I earn enough credit? When you're hanging out with Jesus, you're enjoying life together with the Lord, and ministry is an automatic outflow of Him in you. All ministry comes from God. So when we're in communion with Him and we're just enjoying life together, walking with God, ministry will result. It's not something I have to make happen. It's something that will just happen. God will open doors. God will give you opportunity. And ask God for that. Pray, Lord, give me an opportunity. Open the door and then pay attention to what's happening, right? Okay. So when he tells you, the devil tells you, you'll never be anything for God. Understand that, guys, that we didn't choose him, but he chose us first. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is speaking of our identity in the new creation. You see, we need to hold fast the confession of our faith. Speak the truth. Hold on to what God says. If that situation is not agreeing with what God says, spit it out. Amen. Don't hang on to it. Don't be entertaining any thoughts that don't agree with truth. So that's why you need to know what is true. Like David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Yeah. Because we really sin, guys. Think about this. All sin is a result of unbelief. It really is. We're not really believing God. We're not really believing what God said. We're not believing God is serious about what he says. We're in unbelief. We don't believe that God's going to take care of us. We're in unbelief. When we're worried and we're fearful, we're in unbelief. Because God says, I want you to come to me. I want you to rest in me. We're going to do life together. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's his faithfulness. So if I feel like God is distant in my life, I'll just say, Lord, I thank you that you promised to never leave me nor forsake me. And you know what happens? All of a sudden, I'm feeling him. Because God's saying, yes, yes, that's right, son. Just like I promised. God manifests himself in his word. Amen. And he reveals himself through his word. He confirms his word with accompanying signs. Yeah. God said, lay hands on the sick and they'll what?
Recover.
So what do? Well, lay hands on the sick and pray and believe in prayer of faith, all right? Start practicing. Start getting out there, amen? In your workplace, wherever you find yourself, in the store. Look for an opportunity. God will open doors for you. And isn't it cool when somebody that may not ever know God or know much about God, you know, it'll be a divine connection because you happen to be there and you're available for God to use. And God says, this one I want you to speak to, or this one I want you to pray for. And God moves on that person and it's a miracle. And they're saying, wow. And you can say, listen, because God loves you, that's why he did that for you. You want to know him more? You want to get to know this Jesus? Let me introduce you to him. Step out for God. Step out for God. And he will meet you in the place of obedience. Where I am, there my servant will be. Amen? He's going to be out on the waters. Sometimes he's in the boat, sometimes he's out on the water. The key is to be led of the Spirit and be where he says to be. When he tells you to believe, to trust, you know, God wants us, his children, just like we want our children to be protected. Amen. We want our children to be nurtured and protected and cared for. And we want to teach our children. Amen. We want responsible children. Amen. We want children that will be productive. Amen. That will be a blessing to others. So our Father in heaven likewise wants that for us. And so he gives us truth, his word. He speaks to us and he gives us his counsel because he knows what's best for us. And we got to quit being wise in our own understanding and forsake our thoughts. If they don't agree with God's thoughts, they're illegal. They're rogue. Amen. We need to have, listen, more faith in God's ability to deliver and keep us than the devil's ability to deceive and destroy us. It's the opposite. Otherwise, we're always walk around paranoid. Oh, the devil's after me. No, God is with me. Amen. Hallelujah. And what did he say in Psalms 23? Once again, I will prepare for you a table where? In the presence of your enemies. So he says, you come to me. Hang out with me. Find rest for your soul. They can't touch this. And what he gives you is superior. Amen. And what the world is going to offer you. He's given you his life, his peace, his joy, his goodness, all that he is. Amen. We find in his presence that we are complete, that we are protected, that we are comforted by his presence. Guys, you know as well as I that, you know, people go insane because life is overwhelming to them and they don't have any way to cope with it. So either they get drunk or stoned or look for some alternative way to escape. But when they come down off the drugs, amen, and the booze, the problem's still there staring at you. So what I'll do is I'll just stay drunk and high. And well, guess what? The problem only gets worse. It doesn't go away. And if people don't have any way to cope with something, they don't know where to turn or who to turn. Sometimes people trust in other people and they're constantly being codependent on somebody else to blow their nose for them and help them out. And they can only do that so long because there comes a time, amen, when even that person's not going to be able to help you anymore. Why? Because God is wanting to be your peace. God is wanting to be your refuge. God is wanting you to come to him, yourself, and dine at his table, sit at his feet, find rest for your soul in him. Live a carefree life. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayers, amen? With supplication, make your requests known. Another word for supplication is an earnest entreaty. This means sometimes you cry out to God. Get desperate. Get on your face before God and cry out to him. Pray. And pray until you have a breakthrough. Pray, amen, until that peace comes. Hallelujah. Don't just try to drive through prayer. Well, I whispered a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. No, we need to, sometimes we just need to cry out. We need to get desperate enough, amen, because listen, God wants to move on your behalf. But what he wants to do is develop your spiritual muscles. By you exercising through prayer and other ways, these disciplines are good for your character. All right? And you will become stronger when you've had to endure something and go through something for a period of time. Not everything is instant drive-through results. I love to see instant miracles, but sometimes you have to contend and wait on God for your breakthrough or your miracle. Amen? And sometimes the situation that you're in is not going to change, but as you pursue God and draw near to Him, you will change. God is with you. He's for you. He's not against you. Trust in Him. He's going to see us through. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. So don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Amen. Trust, right? Tell God what you need and thank Him. There it is, with thanksgiving, for all He has done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just do something before we go. But let's just lift our hands to the Lord right now. Maybe you're not used to this. Just go ahead and just be free. Amen. Get over it. Get past yourself and just lift your hands to heaven towards the Lord. Amen. Because what you're doing is this is called lifting your cup. Okay, you're lifting your cup before the Lord and you're asking God, amen, to fill your cup. So just reach out. Put your antennas up. Amen. Hallelujah. And say, thank you, Lord, for the cross, for the price that you paid for my sins. Thank you that my sins are forgiven, that I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to live in regret. I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to live in shame, because my God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Lord, I trust in you as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, if there's any sin in my life, please forgive me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash me in your blood and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Flood my soul with your perfect peace. I cast all my cares upon you. And I receive your peace today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.